Well, welcome. Everybody ready to go? Glad to be out in Northwest. Last summer, the city of Indianapolis announced a comprehensive $150 million violence reduction strategy that would take place over the next 3 years, 2022, 2023, and 2024. This was all made possible through funding by the Federal American Rescue Plan Act. The strategy made record investments in community organizations, in the root causes of crime, and in law enforcement personnel and equipment. Part of the investment into law enforcement included $9 million in enhanced added technology. That includes today's 6 additional mobile public safety cameras, making a total fleet of 7. These cameras can be deployed quickly to large gatherings. They can be deployed quickly to entertainment venues or places where violence has occurred. They add to IMPD's larger camera network, including B-Link, stationary cameras, license plate readers, and officer-worn body cams. This network allows officers to efficiently and transparently gather evidence that will help us hold offenders accountable. With 4 new mobile cameras on the way, more areas will see this key piece of the city's 3-year anti-violence strategy. And frankly, overall, the strategy is working. This is particularly for you, Jesse. So far this year, our city has seen a 20% decline in intentional homicides. That's the first decline since the beginning of the pandemic and the largest decline in over a decade. Last month alone, the month of July, saw a 50% decline compared with July of 2021. But as I always say, while the number of homicides is anywhere above 0, there can be no celebrating. The city of Indianapolis and its violence reduction partners will continue to work to empower residents, elevate neighborhood organizations, and invest in better training and equipment for local law enforcement. So with that, I'm pleased to hand things over to Assistant Chief Chris Bailey. Chris.
Only kidding.
Thank you, Mayor. We are excited to introduce these mobile public safety cameras to our community today. Some of you may have already seen these cameras deployed either downtown, in your neighborhood, or in one of our entertainment zones. And their sole purpose is to keep you safe. The investments made by you, our community, the City County Council, and our mayor are and will continue to make you safer, reduce your fear of crime, and deter those who may think about committing violence. These cameras allow your police department to stay adaptable to where and when violence occurs. And these cameras are deployed based on data. Once trends are identified by our community members, our analysts, and our officers, we can deploy these mobile cameras, providing IMPD with extra resources in a specific area so that we remain laser focused on violent crime. IMPD detectives and officers have already seen great results using these devices in our entertainment zones and downtown, utilizing detectives in our incident analysis center. We've been able to identify high-risk behavior by armed individuals and dispatch officers to de-escalate those situations before they escalated into violent acts. Our investment and deployment of this new technology is a layered approach as well. No one piece of this equipment will stop or help us reduce violent crime alone. We aren't just using these public safety camera trailers by themselves. We're using fixed public safety cameras, B-Link cameras, license plate readers, body-worn cameras, and additional human resources in our incident analysis center, and they're all deployed with the intended to complement each other to reduce violent crime. By using this layered approach to technology, we are able to recover multiple pieces of evidence to help generate leads, solve cases, reduce the fear of crime, and hold violent offenders accountable for the harm they cause in our community. I'm going to turn it over to Commander Matt Thomas, who will give you more specifics on this technology and others. Matthew is our project lead on this. He has been a leader in this from the very beginning, and I'm very proud of his efforts and his continued work to make our technology on our department and data collection the best it can be. So, Matthew.
Thank you, Chief. Thank you, Mayor. Good morning. My name is Matthew Thomas, and I serve as the commander of the Criminal Investigations Division within IMPD. As you've already heard, we are excited about the recent addition to our fleet of mobile trailer cameras. Each of the brand new devices operate independent of hardwired infrastructure, meaning all we need is a location the size of a small car to park the trailer, and we can be operational in minutes. Each of our new trailers was purchased at a cost of approximately $74,000, and each have been funded by grants through Project Safe Neighborhoods, the Smart Policing Initiative, and the American Rescue Plan Act. Fortunately, there's more funding budgeted to continue to expand our fleet. We are currently working on purchasing 4 more trailers. Most importantly, we are purchasing quality trailers designed to withstand the rigors of repeated deployments and severe weather. We anticipate each one will provide many years of service in our neighborhoods and event spaces. Each trailer's camera systems are capable of being upgraded in the future as newer technology becomes available. We have infrastructure limitations, mainly challenges with finding power for technology. We are able to deploy trailer cameras in locations we currently are unable to install a hardwired device. Not to mention, hardwired installations often take several weeks, if not longer. In many cases, we need to get technology resources deployed immediately to feel an immediate impact. This is why the camera trailer is a key technology layer in our strategy. The trailers are primarily powered by solar panels, with generators allowing us to extend deployment times for up to 30 days without refueling. Once parked at a location, a 36-foot telescoping and stabilized mast is raised, bringing 5 different camera views to life. The trailers have the capability to support multiple cameras at the same time, each operating 24 hours a day and 7 days a week. During crime reduction operations, each view is transmitted live to analysts and detectives in the Incident Analysis Center. Over the next year, we are working towards a 24/7 real-time crime center staffed with professional analysts and detectives. The recorded video is available for 30 days and at the fingertips of our detectives instantly, providing leads to help move cases forward. These devices are truly game changers and force multipliers in policing. We officially first deployed these models during the July 4th weekend by conducting virtual patrols and identifying high-risk behaviors and dispatching officers to de-escalate situations. We are layering our technology in order to produce the best outcomes in our cases. As an example, Broad Ripple has a combination of hardwired B-Link and public safety cameras, mobile trailer cameras, and we will soon be incorporating license plate readers on the major thoroughfares. Over the last several weeks, we have been using mobile trailer cameras at locations to assess for future upgrades and permanent installations. As a result, we expect to add multiple hardwired camera views in Broad Ripple in the coming weeks. In a short time, we've gone from just having a handful of views to nearly 25 views during the weekends. With that, I'm happy to take any questions.
So when you beam a signal back to the command center, you'll have detectives sitting there while it's beaming back, watching? So who's paying for that? Does that come out, is that overtime, or is that people already staffed?
So depending on the situation, with our crime reduction operations that we run, some of that is based on overtime grants that are available for crime reduction operations. Those operations are limited to times that we feel that we'll have a good return on our investment, peak times, such as our entertainment zones when they're active. Typically Friday and Saturday nights, we have crime reduction operations active in multiple areas of our city, feeding that video into the incident analysis center so we can do virtual assessments, communicate immediately to the teams in the field.
Can you give a specific example of someone who was nabbed because of one of the cameras and how?
Yes, I can share a personal example. So we started these crime reduction operations on Memorial Day weekend. So I sat in the room the first night, and we had a large fight break out in one of our entertainment zones, and officers had not been dispatched, but we saw it develop instantly. We had multiple people fighting. We were able to get on the radio, have officers on bikes respond to that location in a matter of seconds before it would be even possible to dispatch, someone call, dispatcher answer, and dispatch. What we saw is the group immediately dispersed. And what we prevented, we won't know. But I can tell you based on what I observed, we had multiple vehicles there that people had just parked at, likely weapons in the area. So by having officers de-escalate the situation, not only was no one arrested, but no one was shot, and we had no victims of crime outside of those that were involved in this mutual combat in this event space. That's an example. Additionally, where we see people who have been ejected from a bar, and their demeanor is they're very agitated, upset. Maybe somebody in our field, one of our field units in the field has reported to us that keep an eye on this male. He's very upset. He just got kicked out. He was in an argument with somebody. So we've had situations where people have gone back to their vehicles and retrieved a firearm, but our officers are able to then respond. And what we've seen is that people have really made a better decision to just leave and not further engage in violence or bring a firearm to one of our entertainment zones.
I understand you've mentioned Broad Ripples. Do you have any other locations in mind already?
Absolutely. So we're actively using these in Mass Ave, the South Meridian entertainment areas, the canal, as well as in our neighborhoods, where the data tells us that we have a high probability of incidents of crimes, of violence, then we're going to use our tools there.
And can you control the camera? I don't know if I said that. Can you like zoom in like the guy that kicked out of the bar and watch him walk to his car?
Absolutely. So typically what we see is during this virtual assessment is where we have our analysts looking at multiple screens and multiple views. Their eye will catch some sort of commotion, and then they'll go to a pan and tilt camera, zoom in, and then observe, is there a firearm on the person? They're trying to do a more in-depth assessment.
You said, is this one at Robert Ripple right now? Have you used it there?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we've been actively using them in Broad Ripple. We have several deployed in Broad Ripple right now, and some are at locations where we are planning permanent installations because they've proven beneficial already.
Do you envision something like this being an asset with big city events, you know, climate forwards, that type of thing as well?
Absolutely. We want to be able to assess if we have good movements of our crowds and traffic, pedestrian traffic, vehicular traffic. All of that we're able to do at any location where we can park a trailer camera now.
Anything else, guys?
This may be for Chris, maybe, but big picture beyond just the specific of these cameras, talk about how all the technology is designed to prevent violence before it can and then solve it after the fact. I mean, you've always talked about it being a force multiplier, more eyes on the street, basically. Talk about how you think this can.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's already, I mean, you heard a couple examples, but there are several others that aren't specific to these mobile public safety cameras, but fixed cameras investments over the previous years, specifically on the canal, where we've had people we caught, captured people shooting at each other, which helped us, identify who those individuals were. And now that's after the fact, but without those being there, there are people out there that wouldn't be held accountable. We've also been able to interdict people with rifles, basically stuffed in the front of their pants, that, you know, at least we can send officers that way to keep an eye and let them know that we're there and watching and interdict them. And we interdicted them, and they were juveniles, and they shouldn't have had guns on the canal. But all this, there's multiple reasons. What we want to stop it from happening. We also want to provide our officers with as much information for them to make good decisions when they get there. The more information we can give our officers as they're on the way to an incident that's occurring, the better prepared they will be to deal with it in the appropriate way for their safety and the community's safety. So that's why we're trying to go 24/7 at the Incident Analysis Center with both the detectives there and non-sworn professional analysts to help us keep an eye on these cameras. Because it's the same thing we saw with the Crime Gun Intelligence Center. As we developed that and we were putting all those guns through NIBIN and we were getting all these leads, what came about was, oh, okay, this is great. Now what do we do with all this information? And that's what led to the creation of CJIG. Now we have all these views and this technology is coming in. We have to have a professional, streamlined way of utilizing the technology appropriately for our community and the officers in the field and giving them what they need to do their job appropriately.
And then one last question about the staffing. So would one detective staff like six cameras, or is it like six detectives, six cameras, six stations?
Right now what we're utilizing on the high peak times in our entertainment zones is we've divided it to sections. So this entertainment zone has a detective and an analyst, and this zone has a detective and an analyst, so they work in combination with each other. As we move forward and we're able to get up and running with 24/7, that model may change a little bit. It could be just a non-sworn analyst, or it could be just a detective, but there'll be multiple people in the room depending on how it's set up.
Thank you.
Thank you all. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
The leases are up here if anybody didn't get them. We'll also be sending out B-roll later today of all the mobile pet sellers.
Is there one out there now?
There is. Ripple? Yep, if you had it to Broad Ripple.
Okay, thank you.
Not one
that
canal right now, just one on the west
of the area.
Robert
Wyden by the McDonald's. Robert Wilberg. By the Kroger too.